Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. I'll tell you right now, you are not going to wring today's word out of me. Not by pain, not by persuasion, not even by the promise of caffeine and crumpets. You may torment, agonize, excruciate, or rack me upon the wheel of rhetoric. Still, I will not yield. You may persecute, torment, afflict, martyr, or even torpedo me with torments terrible and tiresome. Yet I shall remain true. And yet, there it sits, a word that skulks in the dungeons of history, lurks in the back rooms of black sites and oubliettes, and creeps even into Shakespeare's verse. Uncle Will presses it into the service of Henry VI, Part II, amidst scheming lords and collapsing civility, and again in Love's Labour's Lost, that most frustrating of farces of bending vows and lofty ideals. Yes, today's word is that most agonizing of utterances, absolute torture if you ask me. Oh, pox. I guess you got it out of me after all. You're good. Anyway, torturous introductions aside, let us hie to the middle of William's lengthy tale of Henry VI. Let's see if I can catch you up. In Part 1, England is in turmoil after Henry V's death. France rises under Joan of Arc. Noble squabbles sprout up like weeds, birthing the floral feud between the English country garden's white and red roses. So far in Part 2, now married to Margaret of Anjou, thanks to Suffolk's dodgy diplomacy, Henry is saddled with a court full of schemers, with Gloucester being the lone voice of integrity. In Act 2, we find ourselves and the court literally looking to the heavens for a medieval weather forecast. There's been an eclipse, you see, which of course must mean doom, death, and national catastrophe. And just when the celestial foreboding is getting heavy, enter the townsfolk with one Simcox, a crippled man in a wheelchair claiming to have been struck blind only to be miraculously cured at St. Alban's Shrine. King Henry, ever the guileless innocent, is ready to canonize the man on the spot, but Gloucester, practical as ever, has little patience for religious fraud, and begins grilling the perambulatorily challenged pauper.
If you mean to save yourself from whipping, leap me over this stool and run away.
Oh, alas, master, I am not able to stand alone. You go about to torture me in vain.
Well, sir, we must have you find your legs. Sir Beadle, whip him till he leap over that same stool.
Ooh. I will, my lord. Come on, sirrah. Off with your doublet, quickly.
Oh. Alas, master, what shall I do? I am not able to stand.
Gloucester exposes him for exactly what he is, a con man angling for pity and coin. It's here that Gloucester takes rather more relish in his unmasking of the impostor, which leads us nicely, or grimly, into our etymology. Torture comes to us not from the information-gathering methods, but rather the healing arts. The Latin tortura described a physical disorder, exhibiting contortion, twisting, or writhing of the body. In medieval Latin, it melded with torcere, which meant to twist, turn, wring, or distort, and applied to the physical pressure inflicted on the body as means of punishment or persuasion. It then managed to wriggle itself free and headed to France as torture, and subsequently crossed the channel, arriving, rather torturously, on William's writing table. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.